market, you can use
time now. They only used to do it every once in a while, and now they're doing it all the time.
Very funny. Why would you bring that up now?
You must have been bad while I was gone.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't think I was bad while you were gone, but okay. Welcome back. My wife, Renee, is here to keep me in order.
Yeah, I guess. Try anyway.
Anyway, we've been in business since 1979 together, and we've been in the car repair business. And you've been my right hand. She handles the money. I handle the staff. Obviously, mine is much more difficult than hers.
When you're around, it's money is more difficult. You have to spend it.
That's not true, and you know it. Anyway, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a good shop. They're up there on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. They've been around a very long time. They have a website that has diesel parts on it. So if you're a diesel guy and you're looking for some specific part, then I like to suggest strictlydieselserviceandrepair.com. They do all kinds of diesel work. They are diehard diesel people, service, repair, and parts, both foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. That's kind of an interesting word there. And it's an important word, light diesel trucks. Yeah. They don't do the big dogs.
They're not going to do the semis and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what it is no big trucks, mm-hmm. No really big semis. So that's Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Okay, I got a couple of stories until they pack the lines.
Okay.
602-508-0960, all lines are open. So, as you know, Larry went to a shop, let's just call it a shop to be fair. Mm-hmm. And he went in there for something that was insignificant, and they told him that he needed an ABS and brake system flush, and that he needed $1,200 worth of transmission repair to fix a leak.
Right.
Okay. Larry's one of the few people in the world that has my cell phone number. So Larry calls me, and he's crying. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what to do. So I ask him the typical questions. Number one, you have anything leaking on the ground?
Right.
He says, no. I said, are you sure? He goes, Mark, I'm sure. I said, have you added any transmission fluid? He goes, no. I said, okay. He says, but I have two pictures here. Mm-hmm. And the brake fluid, you know, has a really dark thing to it. And I said, is it like chocolate milk except black? Is it like iced tea? Mm-hmm. Or is it just clear with a light tint of brown? He says, no, it's clear with the light tint of brown. Okay. So what do you want me to do? He says, well, help me out. Can you beat the estimate? And I said, well, I want to see the car first. So he has these pictures. Now, as you know, the big deal now is that the technicians have these little iPads.
Right.
And they communicate through the iPad. Mm-hmm. They take a picture and send it to the service rider and that. So Larry brings his car over to the shop.
Right.
He's already wound up pretty tight. Larry and I go back to 73, mm-hmm. and we used to work on his 1958 Chevrolet with a 348, and he had a three-speed transmission, and I bet we did the clutch twice a year.
Yeah, he was always pretty anal about his cars and keeping them nice and good and doing all the stuff he needed to.
And that was a two-tone brown and white 58 Chevy 348. Today that car would be worth a lot of money, mm-hmm. but I don't know if he put the three-speed in it or not. I don't know. But we did a couple clutches, and I think that had a direct... I think his driving habits had a direct effect on how many clutches we put in it. But he wasn't the kind of lay rubber or anything. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I said, take it to the shop. So he comes to the shop, talks to Andy, our mm-hmm. daughter, who runs the place. And then she gives it to Eddie, who's been with us for 30-plus years.
Right.
So Eddie puts it up on the rack, and he looks, and this is his words now. The right. transmission is dry as a bone.
Right.
He said there is no leaks. Now, when you have a leak in the transmission or the engine and you're going at highway speeds, the leak falls down, the wind picks it up, and it splatters it. So it makes it into droplets. So the underside of the car should have droplets of oil, but at the very rear bumper, the air curls mm-hmm. counterclockwise. As you look at the driver's side of the car, there's a counterclockwise, you know, swirl. That deposits the oil leak on the rear bumper and the rear of the trunk. Okay?
Okay.
Eddie says, there is no oil underneath this car. What about the rear bumper? There is no oil underneath this car. What about the trunk deck lid? There is no... We keep going. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So it's not... He says, not this transmission. I said, okay, what about the brake fluid? He goes, there's nothing wrong with the brake fluid. He says, not only is there nothing wrong with the brake fluid, but he doesn't have enough miles in order. I mean, we usually do that flush when we first do have to open the brake system, replace the master cylinder, yeah, we flush it. We replace the caliper, yeah, we flush it. But if we don't, it's no big deal. I've been, as you know, mm-hmm. I've been in the legal arena since 1988. I've never seen someone have an accident where they blamed the brake fluid was dirty.
Right.
However, there is, if the brake fluid gets really dirty, that ABS control module, that can go psyche on us. So he looks at it and he says that. So I said, well, he has pictures. I said, ask him for it. So he calls back and he said, this isn't his transmission. This picture is not of his transmission. And the picture of the master cylinder with the brake fluid is not his car.
Wow.
Wow is right.
That's not good.
Wow is absolutely right. So, how long did it take you to figure that out? Within 30 seconds of it, the car's already up on the lift, boss. He says, I just hold a picture next to the transmission. I said, this ain't your car. Mm-hmm. Look at it. It mm-hmm. ain't your car. Mm-hmm. So then he goes, we go underneath the hood and we look at the picture and it isn't car. It's just not your car. So, it's kind of a touchy situation. This, on one hand, getting pictures of a problem that exists in your car is kind of impressive.
Right.
I mean, that's...
We do that sometimes.
We do?
We do that, but we'll make sure that they see that it's the right car.
I think, to give our industry some credit, 80% of everybody's going to play by the rules.
There you go.
Okay, there's 20% out there that is starving to death. Mm-hmm. His wife wants a facelift. His daughter is 16 and she wants a Corvette. There's lots of reasons somebody's going to do something like that for money. And it typically has to do with income stream or gross sales and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something I hadn't seen before. And it's as close to fraud as I've ever seen with respect to somebody doing that. Now there always is a possibility. So I'm going to take the what if? Mm-hmm. What if he sent the pictures to somebody who thought they were to the blue Corolla as opposed to the white one?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, because I wonder what the story would be if he went back to the guy and said, hey, this isn't my car. You know, what would they say?
Or he just took it back and said, do a good general check over. But see, if they put the pictures in his file, mm-hmm. the tech has the ability to look at the pictures.
Yeah.
So the tech's not going to compare the pictures. He's going to say, yeah, your transmission's still leaking. Mm-hmm. He's not going to really look. But those pictures are going to be attached to your file. Speaking of attached to your file, in your car, you can plug in something underneath your dash at what we call the assembly line data link. It's the DLC, data link connector. And you can plug it in and your insurance company will give you a discount or look at the way you drive. Mm-hmm. There is nothing good about that. Nothing.
Especially for you.
Whatever.
I know, I'm just teasing.
No, whatever.
I know.
But it is, there's nothing good that can come out of that. It's not like you're going to pass with flying colors and they're going to reduce your premium to 50%. That's not. However, the question is what algorithm are we going to use? Are we going to use Grandma Moses or are we going to use a 16-year-old boy who's driving his hot rod dad's car? So where are we going to come with that? Mm-hmm. But I think what really bothers me is it's another intrusion onto our privacy.
Yeah.
What's to keep them from listening to what's going on in the car? And I say, Renee, put your bottle of beer down. We haven't got to church yet. And they can hear that.
Yes.
So those kinds of things is, and I'm the privacy guy, you know that. Now, when you buy a car and you have the cloud attached to your car, so if you have a crash and the airbag's deployed, they automatically call the police for you and all that kind of stuff. There are issues in our industry right now where they can listen to you.
Sure.
And one of the things I remember was that when your car was stolen, then they could, for the police, shut off the fuel and the car will coast to the side of the road. Mm-hmm. I was in a huge, in Las Vegas, you went with me. We were talking to 200 or 300 cops and people and mechanics and experts and lawyers. And that was the number one complaint was it takes an act of God. We can go from one end of Louisiana to the other before they decide to shut the fuel off because of the rules and the regulations and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they can't just do it. in a flip of a switch.
Otherwise, you and I could call in.
Yes.
But really and truly, when you call in and say, call the Maine Police Department phone number, that's just Google, you know, New Orleans Police Department and call the Maine number.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask for extension 11 or something like that. Gosh, how hard can that be? But I remember the time, and you knew where I was going anyway, where we put some weather strip on your Ford.
Yes.
And when we did the weather strip, they asked for the VIN number of the car we were working on. So we gave them the VIN.
Sure.
So we ordered your weather strips. So what happened next?
I get something in the mail or a call.
I think it was a call.
Yeah.
And
hey, Mrs. Salem, you need some service on your car, or you're coming up here and we're right around the corner. Why don't you come in and bring your car?
And so they use the VIN number to track backwards. Mm-hmm. They know where you drive and where you look, where you live.
Right.
And they know your odometer reading.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling you you're due for the service, but they don't have any background.
Right.
They don't have any background.
They don't know if you're due. I've done already, right.
Right. But more important than all of that, it's wow.
Yeah.
From my point of
view. They're tracking me.
Yeah. Well, and you know why they're tracking you? Because I gave them your number. I gave them your VIN.
Yeah. Business. Yeah.
So a bunch of us guys, the Brain Trust, got together.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, this is going to be a problem no matter what place we order new parts from. If we give them the whole VIN, they're going to mark it to our customer.
Sure.
So we decided what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Should we keep it a secret or
not? Nah. Because it's not illegal or anything. The last six digits of your VIN is called a sequence number.
Mm-hmm.
It says, where were you in the line? Okay, you were 11116, so that's what number you're in the line. So we've decided to give them the first 11, but then to scramble the next six.
Okay.
And so we envision this in our heads.
Right.
We envision that this manufacturer of new cars gets a hold of a guy in South Dakota.
Says, hey, Mr. Jones, your car's ready for service.
Yeah, and in reality, they're confused because the guy in Tempe is ordering the parts, but this guy's living in North Dakota, but he was probably in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have his van, and we know he's alive, and we know he still has his car, so and they get a hold of him. We have no idea how many people in the entire United States have been contacted by a, and I hate to use the word dealer because the independents are getting into this too a little bit, but by the parts supplier who passed their information on to the marketing people.
Yep.
So it's going to be confusing when North Carolina starts getting cards from Arizona and your car's due for service and that kind of stuff.
How'd you know that?
But that was all we could do.
Right.
They'll figure out a way to beat us, but we just, it's a constant movie. And what we're doing is we're fighting over.
And we're fighting over business.
Customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Customers. It has everything to do with that.
Yeah.
And soon enough, within this year, I believe that we will be able to buy that communication.
Okay.
I think we will have the opportunity to tell our customers, Mrs. Salem, you just rolled over 40 and we haven't done your 40 service.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to do that. I know. Give me that look.
I know.
We're not going to do that.
Customers are going to be irritated by that, I would think, they got a million people going after them.
Well, and that's right. Is it going to be a proprietary thing? Do we get to go 85284?
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe we want a zip code all the way around our zip code. The cost may be more than you ever plan to make.
Sure.
Or that you ever can make. So we'll see what happens. 602-508-0960. This is what it takes. Give us a call and tell us the symptoms and the kind of car you have, and then we'll help you decide what to do next. We'll be back in a minute. Well, welcome back to 22 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem with my wife sitting here next to me. We've both been in the car business for a long time. I feel obligated to tell them about my week.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me turn on your microphone so you can talk.
Okay.
Okay. The 14th is Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're going to bring this up again.
Well, stop it. I'm allowed to do that. Besides, I control the board. I can silence you.
I'm going to embarrass you.
The 14th? That's okay. The 14th is Valentine's Day. The 15th.
Today is Alan's birthday. Happy
our
birthday.
Sons. Yep. Happy birthday, Alan. Alan Salem.
Happy Big
birthday,
Al. Yeah.
Big Al. And, okay, that's the 15th. The 16th is our anniversary. The 17th is Shamrock Day. And the 18th is your birthday. So I have a full week And you know how I remember?
And what have you done? Just tell me. How many times have you been to the store? What have you done? What have you got? You get off pretty easy, I can tell you that.
Really?
Much. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
See, I told you I was going to embarrass you. No, you don't embarrass. Never mind.
Did your car ever broke down?
Oh, stop.
Has it?
I just bring it into your employees, and they fix it for me. I don't even have to involve you.
And your credit card's never said zero.
Oh, stop.
You've never had a credit card declined. And I don't go through all the packages that you bring home in the back of my truck. I don't go through those. I don't complain when you go garage sailing like we did this morning.
Yeah.
We stop at every sign, and we just go crisscross east and west, north and south. And I didn't buy anything today, did you?
Nope.
Didn't see anything.
Nothing this morning.
Oh, boy. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a comment, or if you have a story you want to tell us in somewhat of a short period of time, then 602-508-0960. Tom Blackwell owns Blackwell Automotive at 40th Street in Greenway. I'll get it right.
Hello.
That's the northeast corner of Scottsdale and Phoenix and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That area, I don't have anybody else in. He kind of holds that entire area down. He's really good at what he does.
Yep.
He's kind of ornery. He could be my twin brother.
That's what we call him. Yep.
And he knows what he's talking about. And not too long ago, a lady had somebody, she had bought a complete air conditioning system for her old truck.
Okay.
So she wanted to add AC to a truck that didn't have it. So she had a friend of a friend that started it, and after 3 weeks or 3 months, I don't remember what the story was. It was a while. Mm-hmm. He just kind of got to the point he can't do anymore. So she calls me up. I called around. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants a bucket.
Do something. Yeah, a bucket of parts in a box or whatever.
And no idea where the parts are, and if you're missing a part, then whose fault is it, and all that kind of stuff. So I call around to five of the best shops in town and say, do you want this bucket case?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said nope, except Blackwell. He says, yeah, send her on over here. And I'm saying, you need to understand, you're following somebody that didn't know what they're doing. You're going to install air conditioning. You're going to have to go through the firewall. You're going to have to do a condenser. None of that makes any difference. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. So he takes it, and in 2 days, he has it blowing cold air, and he has it blown through defrost, center vent, and floor.
That's a good thing.
He has the fan running on all the speeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a complete job. Then she challenges him and says, I bet you can't put power brakes on it. Take the manual off. He goes, okay.
Oh, wow.
So she's happier than a clam. And I say to her, I thank you for letting me know that Tom Blackwell did something good, but he's going to be in probation and in prison for the next week, and then he's out every other week. And she laughed. It's not true. But I also said, call me in 30 days, because today is happy, but 30 days may not be happy. So I called him, and I said, the one thing I'm worried about is air conditioning units sweat when we have humidity.
Okay.
That water has to go outside the car.
Right.
And most people find it in front of the passenger side window. They'll find a puddle. You touch it, it's cold water, we're home free.
Right.
I said, did you put a drain on that evaporator case? And he goes, oh, I forgot. Well, when the evaporator case fills up with water, the fan picks up the water like a propeller and shoots it out the vents.
Oh, my gosh. Get a shower?
So she's going to be scared to death. All of a sudden, she's being showered. So I said, well, I think you need to recall that truck and put a drain in it. She says, okay, well, he doesn't call me back for a long time. So I call him back, and I go, did you call her? You need to put a drain on that. He goes, I put a drain in at the very beginning. He says, I just wanted to see how tight I could get your panties wadded.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah. So anyway, if you go to Blackwell's, then you say, Salem is going to send me a coupon for 50% off on your first visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he'll buy that. But if he does work, it works. Okay. Who might be calling, Gil?
That would be Mitch.
Nick?
Mitch.
Oh, Mitch. Mitch, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Hey, just please don't get my panties wet.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe he admits that in the first place.
Okay, here we go. I've got a 2001 Volvo S60. Bought it cheap from my mechanic.
Okay.
I haven't been seeing that mechanic for that long, but he fixed my Jeeps a couple of times and liked him and trusted him.
Okay.
Seems like a good guy. Been having issue after issue. And now I've got probably, including the purchase price, almost $5,000 into it, which is probably a lot more than the car's worth.
Okay.
So, you know, you're chasing. It's like I can't afford to sell it because I can't replace it easily, and I need something for my girlfriend to drive.
And your wife too.
There goes the panties. anyway, now it's. I mean, some of the work, the money that we put into it, have been shocks and struts.
1 minute.
And then, of course, tires. So that's added to the cost. And those are reasonable expectations, I suppose. But there's this evap leak that we have been chasing.
Okay, say no more. Say no more. The evap folks is we're sucking the fumes off the gas tank and running them forward to the motor. There's all kinds of solenoids. There's lines. There's connections. There's all of this kind of stuff that has to be checked. And if I get one call a day or one email a day, it starts off with the same thing. I've replaced all these parts on the evap, and I still have a light. That happens all the time. I'm only 20 seconds away from this break that's mandatory, so, Mitch, you stay right there. 602-508-0960. We have four lines besides Mitch. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. Her name's Renee Salem. And I think our anniversary is like 20 years, 15 years. How long? How many years is it?
46.
Be back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I got to go back to Mitch, and I got to apologize to him because I was up against the thing, but I didn't hear what he said at the very beginning.
Okay.
He said something about...
Yeah.
What?
Your panties in a wad, or okay. He didn't want to get his or yours.
I have decided that the new name of our show is Unwad Your Panties Car Show.
Okay. No, I don't think they're going to go for that.
You know what? I don't care.
Okay.
Hey, Mitch. I'm quite sure that you just can't fix that evaporative leak, yes?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How many parts have you thrown at it?
It's mostly been sensors and a couple of lines.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Did you do the gas cap?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what happens. And when I hear the $5,000, I'm not belittling anybody. I'm not making fun of anybody. But we oftentimes see that. And when we see the tickets, we go, wow, this ultimately was fixed by this, but there's all of these other parts. So somebody was just guessing. Now, if it's the owner of the car, nobody says anything. And if it's another shop, nobody says anything. Those of us that know better don't say anything. But the idea is when you have more than one call on a repair. Now, the second one may very well be, hey, I'm doing the air conditioning compressor, but I have a leak at the condenser, and that's the reason why the system was empty, so I need a condenser. And the customer says, I want to see the old condenser, and I want to see where it's leaking. Okay, fine. So in your particular case, I'm just going to guess, but I'm going to guess that there was some guessing going on during this period of time. The answer to your question is you have to have somebody who knows Volvo, and you have to follow the whole signal. So you have to follow from the top, actually from inside the tank, all the way to the forward, and then there's going to be solenoids and different mechanisms to shut it off and turn it on and stuff like that. Do you snap when you put the gas in it? Do you top it off, or do you just stop on the first click?
Yes, when I'm closing the gas cap?
Yeah, no, when you're fueling up.
It's my girlfriend who drives the car mostly. She fills it mostly.
Okay. Does she stuff the tank?
I don't believe she does.
Okay.
When I fill a tank, I stop it for a click.
Okay. Tell her to do the same. But has anybody put a smoke machine on there?
Not on this one. No.
Okay. I want you to call IMM Imports in Tempe. Talk to Tuan.
Okay.
Tuan. T-W-A-N.
Or something like
that.
Something
like that. And if anybody can fix that, he can. And it should be kind of easy with all those new parts on it, as long as the command is getting there.
Right.
So, and we have to have a vacuum supply to do a lot of stuff, so that hose can't be off. Somebody couldn't have taken the hose off and plugged the port, that kind of stuff. But he, without a doubt, he's the best one I could send you to now. He's not even on my best car repair shops list. It's not that he's not good. It is, he doesn't have the 5 years. And he bought it from David, who did own it, and David was always on it. So I'm sending you to a shop that is a great guy, and I'm sending you to where you are served the best.
They kind of specialize in that type of vehicle. So a lot of us, the Volvos are a little bit different.
They are. Yeah. And you better be sharp. And, but see, really, it's looking at the schematic. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're taking the vent. We're sucking gas out of the tank or fumes out of the tank. We're going to go through this solenoid. Then we're going to go through the canister. And then we've got two lines coming out. And then this one's going to do this. And this one's going to do that. And then when he honks the horns, the rats jump up. Like that kind of stuff.
Right.
So anyway, Mitch, tell your girlfriend this is all her fault. And make her pay for it.
Get her panties in a wad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know what? That's not going to help me.
Yeah.
In a literal way. Okay, we've gone off track here. Right. Goodbye, Mitch. We have to go to Bonnie now and apologize. Bonnie, I'm sorry that you had to listen to a couple of guys in the closet talking about girls, but how can I help you?
I have been taking my cars to a shop for a long time.
Okay.
And the last time I took one of my cars in for an oil change, and all of a sudden they have a new manager in there. Fixed a couple of them.
Okay.
The other guys had been there for years. And now I'm getting these huge long lists of this has to be repaired, that has to be repaired. We can't rotate your tires because one of them is, it's supposed to be an 80,000-mile tire, and it's only got 50,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And they're telling me, it needs to be replaced. It isn't uneven wear on it, and you know, all of this within 3,000 miles.
Okay, all right. Well, let me tell you what I think. First of all, I think we need a second opinion. I think also I need to teach you some self-defense for car expense. Okay. All right. The first thing you're going to do is you're just going to be very kind, and you're going to say, "Oh gosh, I knew my husband." Now, whether this is true or not, Bonnie, my husband's been bugging me. Would you please write down exactly, before I get there, just on a piece of paper, what I need and what the price is, what I need and what the price is, what I need and what the price is, and then just staple your business card to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can promise you, if the story you're being told is hot air, you won't get what you ask for. Number two, when you get there, you say, of course, they're going to deliver your car to you or pull it out front or whatever. And you say to the service manager, the service guy, come on out here and bring that list and let's open up my owner's manual and find out if it says that I need to do this at this time. And I can assure you that the answer is going to be, well, that owner's manual is not for Arizona. Now, here's how you handle that. You say, I didn't know that. Why don't you order me an Arizona manual and call me when it's in? Because there's no such thing.
Okay? I know.
So I'm just teaching you what to say. Now, it's not uncommon for a repair shop, whether it's a chain, an independent, or dealer, when they get a new manager in there, most of the time he's bragging about how much more money he's going to bring to the shop and how he's going to teach his sales tactics and how he's going to do this and what he's going to promise. And we're going to have a 25% increase in gross sales. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Now, you just need another opinion. Did you get the list from them?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Then they are a chain.
Okay.
And the reason I was calling you is because I don't want to go back there because I feel what they are telling me is a lot of crap.
Okay. There's most shops there. Where do you live?
Pardon?
Where do you live?
I live in East Mesa.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you have a shop that you recommend out by me.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's one at Stapley and Main Street called Thompson's Auto Repair. And I'll tell you right now that Brian and Thelma run it. Brian, Vivian, and Thelma Thompson.
Thompson. Mm-hmm.
Those two families, Vivian and Thompson's, dominated the gas station and repair bays of Mesa for 20 or 30 years. Those two kids have been in car repair since they were in diapers.
Yeah.
They're older now.
Yeah, they're not kids anymore.
Yeah, they're not kids. But when you meet them, you'll understand why they're on my list. They're going to be very nice to you. They know what they're talking about. And this is what I would suggest you do. I got this list from another shop. I would like to pay you to look through and tell me what's valid in your opinion and what's not. One of the things that bothers me is one tire is bad and you bought them all the same time. That bothers me. It also bothers me that we can never, if you got 50% of the tread left, we can still rotate the tires.
But 80,000 mile tire, that's, I've not
And we need a corrector
before.
On that.
Yeah.
They sell 80,000, but the tire's never going to last 80,000.
Right.
So if it lasts 60,000 miles, then you get a 20%, because you got 20% of the tire hanging there, you get that discount on the next set. So it's just kind of that kind of deal. Good luck, Bonnie. I'm Bruce and Ben. You stay right there, because I'm going to take a break and get you. Well, welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I'm going to do just what I promised. I'm going straight to Bruce. Bruce, thank you for holding. How can I help you? Hi, Bruce.
Should be there.
Okay.
Okay. I tell you what,
let's hold and then we'll go to the other one.
Yes, let's do that. Ben, you're up next. How can I help you? Did we lose both of Ben and...
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead. Hello. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hi, is this Ben or Bruce?
This will be Ben.
Ben? Hi, Ben. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm ready for you. Go ahead.
I've got a 2002 Ford Thunderbird that I bought about a year ago. And when I bought it, it only had 900 miles on it. It came out of a person's collection of cars. So when I bought the car, first thing I thought is, whoa, these tires are 18.
Okay, we lost Ben for a second.
Okay.
Might be honest.
When he calls back, I'll put him through.
Okay. That'd be fine. Tires is a big issue in our industry. Right now, the big fight is, what do we do? Mm-hmm. What are we, you and I, expected mm-hmm. to do? Mm-hmm. There is overwhelming evidence that people should not be driving on 10-year-old cars, tires.
Tires, yeah.
But the problem is that many times the tire you buy is 2 years old. It's pretty hard to get what I call a poppin' fresh tire. Yes. So it was popped out of the mold on Monday, and you put it on your car on Wednesday. That ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got Ben back.
Okay, just have them hold real quick. So when you got tires of 10 years old, there's a standard of care. These are legal terms. Standard of care and industry standards. Mm-hmm. The standard of care is you should tell them that. But there's no rules that say we have to.
Right.
That's the standard of care. Industry standards, that's really as fuzzy as the first one. Mm-hmm. There's nobody telling us we have to do that.
Yeah.
There's no one insisting we have to do that. There's no law that says we have to do that. But the good guys do that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are progressive in our industry.
Yeah.
So, but if the customer is really responsible for that.
Right.
So they need to ask when they have an oil change, check the date of my tires and tell me what they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's four digits. If it says 0419, then that was made the fourth month of 2009. That's how you read it. So it's real simple, but those four numbers are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Have we got Ben back?
We got Ben.
Ben, you had a 02 Thunderbird with 900 miles.
Right. So I had the dealer change tires, and they were willing to do that. And so I'm wondering, I've now put 10,000 miles on the car since I've owned it, but should I be worried about things like the brake fluid and transmission fluid being 18 years old?
No, but the best thing you could do for that horse is go to Flagstaff and back a couple of times, or Yuma, or go down to the Mexican border, or... You know, go someplace. You need to take that horse out and exercise it. I'm sure I'm sure that the fluids haven't been circulated at all. I'm sure that all the gears and everything needs to be rebathed. We need to move brake fluid around. We need to run that transmission through the fluid through the filter a bunch of times. We need to heat up the differential oil. So the very best thing you could do would be go take that on some long jaunts. And that would be very beneficial. You got new tires on it, so you're home free there. I think I'd go with you at 900 miles. The answer to your question is I'll bet the brake fluid's clear or looks like real diluted iced tea. I'll bet the transmission fluid is red and cherry. I'll bet the engine oil's probably pretty close to amber. The differential oil is going to be transparent, but in reality, I'd have to look at that, and I can't explain what that would look like. You'd smell the differential oil. You'd smell the transmission oil. You'd smell the power steering fluid, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And at 900 miles, it just can't be that bad.
Yeah, but he's sitting with 10,000.
Yeah, I'm at 10,000.
Okay.
Not the oil change, so I know that.
Well,
You're right.
The shop should be doing that for you. You say to your shop, this has only got 10,000 miles. This car is, what is it, 9, so it's 11 years old. So please look at the transmission fluid, look at the brake fluid, look at the power steering fluid, look at the differential fluid, and tell me what you think. And then see, what most of us would do is we'd take you out there in the bays and say, put your hand out. We'd put gloves on you, and we'd put a drop of differential fluid. Then we'd pull a drop out and put it next to it. Then we'd take power steering new, power steering yours, coolant new. We just show you all that.
Yeah.
And then you can make up your mind. It color and consistency and transparency is a way to look at it. But in reality, as far as miles is concerned, the fluids we're talking about is it's okay. The only one if you're going to do any of them, I'd do the coolant because it's had 11 years to marinate.
No, it's 18 years.
18 years to marinate.
Yeah, so that's a while.
Okay. So I think that that's probably what I would do. If you're going to do anything, do the coolant. That's all.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
602-508-0960, and he's going to pull another caller out of his hat. Gil?
I'm glad you said hat. Bruce is next.
Who?
Bruce. He called before.
Oh, Bruce. Thank you very much for calling back. Bruce, how can I help you?
Yeah. Hey, my wife drives a 2018 Lexus RX 350.
Okay.
And the other day, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. The other day, she was making a left turn into a parking lot and went over the center divider curb, maybe going 5 miles an hour, and blew the sidewalls out of the left side tires.
Okay.
And, so I had it, we had it towed over to Discount Tire, and I ended up putting 4 new tires on it rather than just 2 for other reasons. Anyway. The tires that they had available to me were a little different in size than the original. The originals were 235, 55, 20s.
Okay.
And these were 255, 20s. And, they said it wouldn't be a problem. And I asked about the speedometer, changing in the speedometer. They said it would be 0.3 miles per hour off at 60.
Okay.
Do you agree with that assessment?
I have a couple comments. Number one, I work for Discount Tire at times, and I don't know anybody who does a better job than they do.
Yeah, well, me too. I agree.
Okay.
Normally.
And they have the equipment to tell you it's 0.3 or 0.03 off on the speedometer. Is your RX a four-wheel drive?
No, it's 2.
Okay. And I'm quite sure I would bet $100. I'd bet $200 that they looked up the diameter of those two tires and they're saying to you, we looked up the diameter. Forget the sidewall depth. Forget the width. Forget the wheel size. We're interested in diameter. And they probably looked up the diameter. Now, you want to be good? Call another discount. And say to them, I have this shop I really love, but this is what they did. What do you think? Now, if they throw rocks at the other shop, I'll be surprised. but in reality, I think that they're going to agree.
No, I'm not worried about it, really. I just wanted your opinion. And the other thing is, I ended up only having two, and I had to go to another discount tire shop to get the other two. So, you know, there's consistency there anyway.
Okay, and all of them are the same. They're same size.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all four Michelins.
Okay.
Anyway, the other question I have for you is, would you then go get the wheels aligned, get a four-wheel alignment now? This is, a car's got 11,000 miles on it.
No.
And $1,200 worth of tires on it now.
No, you have to have it. I mean, this is an easy one. We're going to run it up on the alignment rack. We're going to hang four heads, one on each wheel. We're going to push a couple of buttons, wave a dead chicken around our head, honk twice. We're going to do some work, and we're going to see, and we're going to punch in your car in the computer, and then it's going to tell us what everything looks like. Now, if the bottom of both left side tires is pushed in, so we have a lot of camber on the left front and a lot of camber on the right. Otherwise, it is, you look at the tire from the back. Instead of being 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Then you've got some bent suspension. But I don't think Discount would have given you back the wheels, because when you spin the tires for an alignment, and I'm not doing a commercial for them.
Right.
Don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
I'm not beholden to them. There's times I say to them, I don't want no part of this dispute. But they would have seen the wheels bent. Now, here's the good news. If the wheels aren't bent, there's a good chance nothing happened.
Okay.
So
no, they're not bent. I took it on the freeway. There's no vibration. Everything looks good.
I know, but
everything seems good.
Yeah, you're not going to know the difference if that front tire, if the top of it is out, a half an inch. You're not going to know that, but 20,000 miles from now, you're going to go, holy mackerel, look at the outside edge on that. Well, what's an alignment? Hang on.
They've gone up a little bit. I think 119, 129 for a four-wheel, something
okay
like that.
Yeah, most shops are going to be, let's bracket that, okay? Mm-hmm. Somewhere between $100 and $150 for an alignment.
Where would you do it? I live near Kurtz Auto. I don't think they do alignments at Kurtz.
No, they do.
They do?
Yeah, and if they don't, then call Tom at Action, which is a mile north.
Okay.
And talk to Action Auto Supplier Kurtz. And if he doesn't have an alignment, tell him that's a deal breaker for you, because if he can't do full service, then
and ask him who they use. That's the thing.
You are so pragmatic.
I am.
You are so, and I agree with her. Ask him who they use for alignments.
Okay. Let me give you one other thing on positive feedback. About a year and a half ago, you recommended my grandson, who was in the Air Force in Fairbanks, Alaska, buy a Dodge, a Ram diesel truck. And I just wanted to give you feedback. He's had it for a year and a half in Fairbanks. Man, it's cold up there.
Yeah.
And he's not had a problem with it. And it was used with 50,000 miles on it.
And I'll give credit where credit's due. I was a GM guy all my life. My son bought a Dodge, and I disinherited him. I disowned him, and I made him change his last name. He bought this Dodge. Good thing it wasn't a Ford. So
yeah.
I couldn't outrun him, no matter what. He could be hauling horses, and I could be hauling horses, and I couldn't outrun him. I couldn't outpull him. So I went out behind everybody's back, and I bought a 2012 one-ton with the 6.7. I've never had a nicer truck. I got 104,000 miles on it. I've put one set of tires on it, although I'm on a highway a lot. Mm-hmm. Have I done anything else that wasn't caused by me?
That was,
yeah.
Not that
I'm getting ready for all the hoses and all the belts and all the fluids, because I'm at 104. But other than a few oil changes, I've never had a problem with it. So I'm not doing a Dodge commercial, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you real quick.
Okay.
We talked about Kurtz, I-17 and Bell. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's talking about. Eric is a master. Kurt is a master. And both of them are going to take good care of you. I have sent people to them, one lady, who was told by three shops that she needed an engine. Kurtz put an oil pressure switch in it, $118, sent her on her way. Now, it's true it had a low oil pressure reading, but it was because the switch was lying about the pressure. So he puts a new switch in, boop, doo, doo, and we're done. So he knows difference from right from wrong. That's Kurtz Auto, I-17 and Bell, the northeast corner. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and you got a good chance.
This was Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. We've been in business together since 1979.
Yes.
And we've worked on quite a few cars, and we've had our fair share of employees, but...
Employees but what?
We've had our fair share of employees.
Okay.
But we have lots of long-timers.
We do.
We have lots of... we've had lots of 10-year guys in North. And Eddie Caruso's 30.
30, yep. 30 Jeff's years. 20. Our parts guy's 20. And yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of 10s.
Our kids have 15s, all been there.
Yep.
For 15 years or so.
20 and 25.
20 and 25? Is that what it is? Okay. And actually, Alan runs the shop in the performance side of the business, and then Andy runs Alan. Not really. Andy runs the money and the staff and all that other kind of stuff. Yeah. So nevertheless, the phone number for our new show, we're no longer known as Under the Hood with Mark Salem. This is Unwad Your Panties Car Show. And
no,
so
if
your panties are wadded up, then give us a call, 602-508-0960. There's no real rules other than don't name the shop if you're going to say something bad against them. As a matter of fact, don't name the shop at all. That would be the easiest thing. What you do is you call us up, 602-508-0960, and you tell us what kind of car you got, what kind of mileage you got, and then we're going to talk about symptoms or what the problem is. So we have that, and we've done that before. I've been on radio since 1988. Excuse me. So I've been around the block, and I'm real good, but I'm only as good as the information you give me. And if I ask you a question, there's three possible answers. Yes, no, or I don't know. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't know is okay. It's better than guessing, because that sends me down the wrong road. And we've got a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Susan.
Susan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Meet my wife, Renee.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, dear.
I'm all ready.
Okay. I'm about to tear my hair out. I have a 2004 Chrysler Crossfire. And I can't find anybody that seems to be able to work on this car. It isn't running properly. I don't know what's wrong with it. The Chrysler dealerships know nothing about this car, and I've even tried Mercedes, and they know even less. So I'm trying to find a good mechanic that has the diagnostics to work on it.
Okay. Let me fix something first. There's no such thing as we're going to plug something into your car, and it's going to tell us how to fix it. Okay, what it's going to do is it's going to say, I see the tailpipe is running a lot of fuel out of it. The question is what's causing that? So we know that we have a sensor saying, too much fuel, but in reality, upstream, there's four or five things that can cause that. So at least you've got a path. Now, tell me more about how it doesn't run. Does it idle good? Does it not accelerate good? Does it smell? What's the deal?
It just runs rough.
Okay. Does it run rough only at idle, but then when you get up to accelerate up to 55, 60 miles an hour, it's smooth?
No, it just runs rough at any mileage.
Okay. Can you demonstrate to somebody what rough means?
Well, it's like it wants to wander around on the road. It isn't the tires. It has brand new tires. It's been aligned. But it just, the maneuverability just isn't there.
Okay. Okay, so we thought you said it runs rough, and see, this is how communication is so important. We thought you're talking about engine.
Right.
But what you're saying is it doesn't ride nice.
Correct.
Okay. That's altogether different. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, where do you live, by the way?
I live in the, by PV Mall.
Okay.
Tom,
he's around the corner, yeah. Here's what happens. The first thing we want to do is look at the door sticker on the door, and then we want to check the air pressure in the tires. Hopefully they'll match. Then what we're going to do is look at the tire wear on the car, and then we're going to go drive it, and maybe Tom says, I want you to drive, and I want you to tell me what it is you don't like. That's why I ask you, can you demonstrate it? Because if you say it only happens on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then there's no sense in us taking a ride with you. So the idea is have you demonstrate the problem. Now, once you demonstrate the problem, he may say, the problem's in the right front. We need to deal with the right front. But we need to drive it. And then another thing is, Tom's going to drive it, and he's going to go down the street straight. He's going to put his finger about 12 o'clock, and he's going to make a right turn. Probably one turn of the wheel. Then he's going to let go of the wheel, and it better straighten up. So that's called return to center. So if it doesn't straighten up now, we need to figure out why it didn't straighten up. So everybody knows that when your car's wheels are turned left and right, if you let go of the steering wheel, 99.9% of them will go straight. That steering wheel will straighten up itself. So if you're by PV Mall, Blackwell Automotive is at 40th and Greenway. Tom is one of my best friends. All the shop guys are friends of mine, but Tom has my cell phone number, and he calls me and tells me dirty stories. And Polly, his wife, is better. She was sick for a while, and I've known Tom for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So you got to throw the gauntlet down to him. You say to him, Mark Salem says you can fix it, but I've had a lot of people say they can fix it and nobody could. But I'm willing to take you for a ride and see if you can do anything about this. So your suspension on that Crossfire is no different than her Ford Edge.
Right.
Or my son's Camaro or my daughter's Explorer. The underside of that, the steering and suspension is just like every other car. So there's nothing special about your suspension and your Crossfire. So
I don't need to get paranoid about sensors on this car and the sensors not being set.
No, right? If you had any kind of a suspension or a height sensor, you'd have a check engine light. And the check engine light would say, I'm not happy with the pressure on the right rear tire or something like that.
Okay.
So this
I
isn't
have
a
no
sensor
lights
problem.
Coming on.
Okay. There may be a sport button. Is there a sport button on the center console somewhere or on the dash that says sport and not something else?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to check. I haven't had the car that long.
Okay, get in the owner's manual, because sometimes the high-performance cars have a button, and it says, you want to drive because you got a hot cup of coffee between your legs, or do you want to drive like Mario Andretti? And so there is a button that you can bounce back and forth between a stiff suspension and a soft suspension. All righty. All right, Susan, yeah. Good luck to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You bet, ma'am.
Great show. Glad you got it on.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Every Saturday between 10 and noon, we're here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I miss but maybe one show a year.
Yeah.
Because we usually travel, and we have a traveling radio station.
Yeah.
We literally take our stuff with us.
Especially now that we're on the Internet.
I mean,
we can do it much easier than we used to have to find a phone line or a fax line or whatever.
Now we just put out the Wi-Fi antenna and talk from anywhere we want.
All
we have to do is put a computer of ours on the time zone. Do we have to go to Phoenix time zone? Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around since 1968. He's down on 40th Street in Washington. If you've ever gone east or westbound on Washington, he's on the north side of the road. He has a transmission up in the air, and he's been there since Jesus was a baby. He's been around. Phil has been around. His staff are really good. So if you have a transmission problem, he'll drive it for you. He'll let you take somebody with you. He's not going to let you take somebody with you for an hour. But can you duplicate it? Yes, I can. Benny, come here. Take a ride with him. That's how it works. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street and Washington. And I think we have another caller.
Oh, we do not know. She was the only one.
Okay.
Oh, did he say we don't?
He said we don't. That's right. I thought I heard that. But I always hear those noises. I don't know what it is.
All right. Well, I'll tell him about another nice shop on the other side of the town.
There you go, because you've missed a couple.
Yeah, I have. Larry Harker's Auto Repairs have been at 38th Avenue and Indian School for a very long time. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. Ellen runs the front counter and the lobby, and Larry runs the shop. And then Jeremy, who has master-level technician skills that I don't have. He probably doesn't have my communication skills where I can draw pictures with my mouth, but he is good. I'll give you an example. I'm a master tech. I've done 8 classes in automotive, so I'm an automotive master technician, and I have been for 25 years. They have a paint and body test. They have a big truck test. They have diesel tests. They have gas tests. They have all these different tests. The kid has passed every single test they have. He's one of 3 or 4 in the United States that is a master, 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 and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a doctorate degree 10 times. The guy knows what he's doing. I send people to Larry Harker's Auto because you've got an issue with your car. We're on Tuesday morning at 3 o'clock. It has a hiccup, and that's kind of a challenging thing for them. Not too long ago, a quick story, there was a BMW in their shop.
Mm-hmm.
The BMW had got an estimate for thousands of dollars to fix a problem where the vents in the car were blowing mist of water. So most of the air conditioning is on the right side in front of the knees of the passenger. So they look underneath the car, and there's a drain there that's supposed to drain the water out of the air conditioning cavern, which is called the evaporator case. And then they stick this screwdriver up there, and then to hear them tell you, my arm is covered with the blackest, sootiest, crappiest stuff ever, and it's just water running out of this drain tube. It's yuckier than heck. So they rinse out, and they take the drain completely off. They rinse it all out, then they put the drain back on. Then they turn it on, they go drive it, no more mist out. I think the repair was $80, I think. I think it was hardly, it may have been 100, I don't know. But it was a heck of a lot cheaper than somebody else bidding it because of a big problem in that case. So you need to have gray hair in order to pick stuff up like that.
Yeah.
You better have been around the block. So there's 20 good diagnosticians here in town.
Yeah, if you go to marksalem.com and go under Best Car Repair Shops list, we have all of them listed there that we recommend and we know have been in business at least 5 years. And
been friends of ours for a long time.
Right.
And I don't know anybody that's even close to five. Most everybody's 10 and north of that.
Way. Yes.
And here's my promise to you.
1 minute.
No one else does this. I promise you this. If you have a dispute with one of the shops that's on my list, now you're going to go through a dispute resolution process, a fair one, probably used a Better Business Bureau. Mm-hmm. Then if the shop is told to give you money or fix your car, and my shop doesn't give you money or fix your car, I will. I will. How many times since 1988 have we had to pay for a shop?
Never.
Never. How many complaints a year even get there on an average?
None.
I can think of one.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing.
And the dispute was between the customer and the shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me. Mm-hmm. And I said to the shop, you need to give them $1,000.
Sure.
And the shop gave him $1,000.
Right.
So yeah. We're done.
They're all good people.
Yeah. And I'm not the god of car repair by any stretch of the imagination, but I am a professional mediator and arbitrator. And an arbitrator is Judge Judy, and a mediator tries to get the two parties to agree without intervention.
And you are kind of like Judge Judy. You're kind of
when I'm arbitrating. I want to tell you something. I don't like her at all.
That's because you're just like her.
Oh, hey, say goodbye to Renee. I just turned off her microphone. All righty, 17 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to talk about cars. And you're welcome to join. Why am I doing it at 11?
I'm Greg May, the proud owner of Phoenix Body Works. I started in 1982 and still love fixing mangled vehicles. I'm proud that for 32 years, my staff has been able to provide
right.
the finest collision repair service
right.
in the valley. Industry standards tell us how to fix your car, and we don't fudge that. Leave your worry and stress to us. It's what we do. When you have an accident, remember, the law states that you have the right to choose your collision repair shop. All our estimators and technicians are our car certified. We have all the necessary state-of-the-art equipment to fix your vehicle right. We welcome you to visit Phoenix Body Works anytime, even if you just need a bottle of water, a cup of coffee, a snack, or to use our Wi-Fi.
Hello, Mark. You there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Got some callers for you. Your next caller is Wayne.
Okay.
And then after Wayne, we have Bob.
Okay.
And then after Bob, we have Jay.
J-A-Y?
J-A-Y, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Greg May, and I wrote
you
this
bring
message.
Us out.
Take the Patriot with you wherever you go. The 960
mean,
the Patriot mobile
as soon
app.
As it's our
Alexa,
turn, you talk.
Tune in, iHeart, and radio.com. It's your voice of reason 24/7.
2020 is the year your business is going to thrive.
Twenty minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. We've been in business for a very long time, together, as a matter of fact, since 1979.
It's Renee's been a hard job, people.
Shut up, okay? She runs the money. She runs all the books, the credits. She pays all the bills. And I have run the shop and most of the staff, with the exception if we have an accountant or something like that working, then she answers to you. Mm-hmm. But really, you have no power. Nevertheless, let's go to the phones and we'll talk to Wayne. Wayne, good morning to you.
Good morning. I have a 2011 Dodge Grand Caravan and it has 40,043 miles on it. the history that's been setting at least for the last 3 years, and I just got it a week ago.
Okay.
So the first thought is what would you recommend I do with things? And then the second question is, in driving it, I've had a little bit of a shudder. I think it's on a 1-2 shift in the transmission. And, of course, that's very quick, six-speed transmission. It shifts at, 7 miles an hour or something. So you're just stepping on the gas, and it is most often occurs when I'm turning left out of a driveway or whatever. You know, you're just starting up.
Okay.
There's a shutter at that shift point.
Okay, so it's the 1-2 shift. Are you slowing down and then come back on the throttle, or is it the other way around? You come on the throttle
and then... No, it's the other way around. From a dead stop.
Okay, all right.
Acceleration from a dead stop.
All righty. Well, first thing I'd probably do is have the oil changed. Then with an oil change, we're supposed to check your tires, your belts, your hoses, and your fluids. So that's the first thing that I would do. And have somebody give you a health
check. Engine oil and or transmission?
No, I wouldn't do the transmission at 43. There's no... The transmission is... The fluid is a gas. I don't know that I've ever fixed. Unless, of course, I pull the pan off and the fluid's muddy. It looks like mud.
Right.
You can pull the dipstick on it yourself and look at it, and it's not going to look that way. I don't want to spend, what's a tranny service, $120 to $150?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to spend that kind of money on a guess. I don't want to spend your kind of money on that guess. And I think, too, did you have to jump start it after it sat for a long time?
No.
Okay, all right.
The battery was dead. We put another battery in, started right up.
Okay, well, that's the question I wanted answered, and here's why. Yeah, I asked you if you jump-started it, and in fact you did, but if the battery took it all the way to nothing, it's wiped out all of its memory. So that car, like other cars, monitors my wife's accelerator pedal, which is always wide open, and brakes, which she never uses, and that kind of stuff. So we've lost all that memory. So... save yourself some money, and then do this. Look at the speedometer for the shift points, okay? So if you accelerate normally, I'm shifting out of first gear at 8 miles an hour. If I accelerate really hard, it'll hold first gear to 20 miles an hour. That's invaluable information. And so what part of town do you live in? First of all, do you have a shop that you trust?
No, your transmission exchange on 40th would be one that I'd consider.
Sure.
A friend of mine had worked on there.
Okay, but let's do
I need a channel, though, to answer your question.
Okay, let's do my plan first. Oil change, complete check over, and you drive it for 30 days. I'll tell you what you could do. You could pull the stick, smell the fluid, put it back in, and every week you pull the stick and smell the fluid. If you got a problem, the fluid's going to smell bad. Then we have to go in and find it. But I'm just wondering if we lost all the historical data in it. And I'm wondering if they drive it and they say no. It will quick shift because you're not real hard on the throttle. And so it's going to shift early because it thinks you're backing off the throttle or the numbers don't go good. I want you to, from a dead stop to make your left turn, I want you to come on the throttle more than you have without squealing your tires and, you know, doing a broadside slide through the intersection.
Sure.
And then I want to know where second gear was. So with electronic transmissions, we're monitoring your speed, your load, your throttle, your RPM, the engine temperature, the transmission temperature. All that stuff's being monitored, and the computer makes a decision based on all that stuff. Okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You betcha. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you, Bob?
Good morning to you, Renee and Mark.
Hi.
Two questions. First question, I have a 98 Ford Ranger and an 04 Ford Explorer. About 3 weeks ago, I think, I listened every week, but your son was on, and he said, or you said, that he could put DRLs, put it on. My Ranger has them, and
okay.
I like having the DRLs. Plus, USAA gives you a discount if you have DRLs. My Explorer does not have the DRLs. Can you put them on?
From everybody else, it's daylight running lights.
Mm.
Right.
Right. Okay. So it's a white light that's down below the bumper, and it's on all the time. If those are your turn signals, you'd have to mount them. You're going to have to buy them and have them installed. And then we're going to turn them on when you turn your headlights on.
Okay, so, now on the Ranger, they're on all the time. It's the headlight.
I understand. We can also wire them that way. We can wire it to an input that's what we call ignition hot. So we'll go find something when the key goes to the on position, boom, the lights come on. And the answer is yes. But
you can do that.
Yeah. Okay. But I want you to check with your insurance company to see what that discount is, if there's a discount. And then ask them if it's going to be, what's your criteria? Is it a yes or no box I check? Or if you're going to, because you're not going to find, daylight running lights typically give us a wide lens, but they're not focused. They're not beam. They're not meant to blind. They're just meant to let the other car see you, to bring you up. Okay?
Yep.
You can't buy spotlights down there, because that's going to blind people, and they're going to be mad at you. So you're going to have kind of a fog light, and you're going to have to kind of aim them down a little bit, but you're going to have to walk way, way down the street and have your wife look at you with the car, and you're going to be able to see the white lights. You're home free. Now, any shop can do this for you, but I'm not going to do it for you because I want you to pick the lights, because I don't want to pick the lights and do it again. And so in reality, that's what you're in best interest as well.
Okay.
So what part of town do you have a shop you like and shop that can
well,
do
yeah,
that?
I like you guys, or I go to Thompson's, either one.
Okay.
You know, either over on thing or I come to you.
Okay.
There.
I'm quite sure Alan, my son, who does a performance stuff.
Right. It was him.
I want to tell you something. He just did.
Okay.
He put on this off-road vehicle, mm-hmm. I don't know how many white lights to the front, how many white lights to the side, how many white lights to the back, how many red lights to the back, turn signals. He did everything. The niftiest thing he did was he built this wire harness that was bigger than my thumb.
Okay.
He put a plug on it, and he plugged it back into the back of this television screen that was as thin as an Apple iPad that had a touch screen. So he could push the front lights on, level one, and push the front. I mean,
oh,
well,
man.
How much?
Cool.
Wait a minute. You haven't seen the bill on that yet. The lights and the bar up above was in excess of $5,000. But there's not 25 switches. I mean, and then you push one button and they all go on, and you push one button and they all go off. With the new technology we have right now, it's exciting. But just talk to him about, first of all, though, you got to call your insurance company to find out. If this is a red herring, it's a red herring. So
no, they told me when I insured the vehicle, they wanted to know if I had them. And I said, yes on one, not on the other. And they said, oh, well, we give you a discount on the one, but not on the other.
Okay. What's your insurance company name by chance?
USAA.
Okay. That's one of my four. Geico, Liberty Mutual, Farm Bureau, and USAA. I work for them all. Those are the four big dogs. Those are the ones who are going to treat you right. I'd find out what the discount is, because if it's 1% of your policy, we need to know what the number is. Anyway, I got to run, Bob. Jay, you stay there, because on the back side of this break, I'm going to take care of you. 602-508-0960. We got open lines. Welcome back, everybody. Just like we promised, we're going straight to Jay. Jay, how can we help you?
Hey. Oh, hey, Mark. Renee.
Hi.
My wife has got a 2010 RX350, and the heat blows from the right-hand side in the front and in the back, even when it's on cold. Dual zone, it doesn't matter. It just continuously blows hot, and I'm wondering if that's a blower door or something along those lines, because I've been quoted about 8 to 10 hours pulling that big dash out of that.
That's why you need somebody who's done that before. Everybody, yeah. I hope everybody's quoting you worst case scenario. So 8 to 10 hours to go into the dash. But here's the deal. You gotta know where you're going. This isn't from driver's side to passenger side, take the dash out and you're gonna see something wrong. That's not gonna happen. So you have, there's test procedures we gotta go through, but you have to know what you're doing. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes the diagnosis, don't tell anybody, is we take a coat hanger and put a hook on it, and we get to find out where the door's at, and we grab a hold of it and pull it. And we look at, and you compare one door to the other side, and this one over here is this way, and this one over here is this way. But you're right. There's going to be some electronic device that diverts the air between the dash, the center, and the floor. And hot and cold.
Is that only on, is that controlled on the right-hand side of the dash, or is it, are they dual zones controlled from two different boxes?
Well, here's the question, here's the answer. Do each, the driver and the passenger, pick their own temperature?
They can.
Okay.
If you hit the dual climate zone button, but it doesn't matter. It always continuously blows
okay.
on the right hand. Hot, and it is absolutely hot.
Okay, well, who sits over there?
Me.
Okay. I wasn't looking for that answer.
That's why I'm calling.
He said it's his wife's car, so you got to listen.
Okay, I see, take but all my thunder away, you know?
Oh, my gosh, I know. I wish it wasn't that way. But okay. The whole center console on those units, you know, they go from the dash and it kind of continues to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got probably a tunnel through there that has all the
ductwork.
And that whole center console gets absolutely hot, the whole thing, because it's running as hot as it can be. On both sides of that console, it's very, very hot. And it's kind of concerning, you know, to know if it's
not hurting it. Yeah, it's not hurting anything. It's just a matter of diagnosing where the problem is and then going into that problem. Now, this door has, there's going to be doors that have three positions, windshield, center dash, and floor. Then you're going to have hot and cold, and that door's going to have all kinds of stopping points. So, it's not really the door. We're not going to go after the blend door. We're going to go after the automatic temperature control door. Now, this could be a head. We've done that before, where the head's lost control of something. But you really need to have somebody that's done this before. And frankly, I can't tell you who that is. I don't know who I'd send you to, but I think the best bet would be Harker's.
Okay.
Because I think Jeremy would have the better handle on doing this than even me, even our shop. Mm-hmm. I think Jeremy would have a better handle on this because
he's asking, is there doors on both sides since it's dual control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And there's, well, you have two different, the driver can set it at 30 below,
right.
And the passenger can set it for 120.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the computer's going to give you cold air and give hot air, and it's going to happen.
Sure.
That's the most sophisticated air climate control system we have to go against. And there's a hell of a lot of guessing going on, and that's what you better make sure. So,
gotcha.
Okay.
What site is that on?
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
You betcha. Action Auto Repair is up on I-17 in Deer Valley on the northwest corner. I've known Tom since 1983.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are my friends. These guys, I don't have to babysit these guys. I don't have to babysit Tom. He knows right from wrong. I don't think we've ever had a complaint against him, ever. And Tom's, he just knows how to fix cars, and he knows how to treat his staff. You see, that's the success circle, is the management trusts the staff to do what's in the best customer's best interest and not in what's their best interest, the shops or the technicians. Tom's got all that locked down. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley, then Action Auto Repair is a place I'd probably go to if you don't have a shop. I always ask you, first, do you have a shop you trust? If you have one, I don't want you to take you away.
Yeah.
I want you just to go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is another shop in Sun City, and it's Auto Dynamics. Chuck Nyday opened it up in 1982, and Derek, his son, now runs it. There is a difference between first generations and seconds. You can take that to the bank, and it's almost always better. The younger, the millenniums, I call them minions, but that's not right. They're just a younger group of people that simply have their ears a little more open than maybe us older guys do. So if you're in Sun City, I recommend that you try Automotive Dynamics. They're on the north side of the Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602.
I think we have Bob waiting, but we'll get him right after.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Bob, you'll be first. I promise. We'll be back in a minute. I should put that there.
Hey,
Gil, send me the show. I just messed up and didn't tape this whole segment. So yeah, when you get a chance, send it to me.
Second hour, yeah.
I only need the second hour.
Okay.
Nathan, here's what the deal is. I want you to picture this. Regular gasoline, when it explodes, is like a balloon. Pop, okay? Premium gas, one molecule ignites a thousand ignite a million, and a million ignite a jillion. So the burn time is longer with premium than it is with regular. But we're talking thousands of a second here. So your car won't know the difference. And as long as you're not hot rodding it and doing street racing, you won't either. So a lot of people do a blend. They wait half tank, then they put premium, then a half tank, they put regular. And some people do that. Now, there's a knock sensor on your car, and when it detects a ping, instantaneously tells the PCM, and the PCM knocks a couple of timing marks down. So it might go from 12 to 11, and then all of a sudden, the knock sensor shuts the heck up, and so the computer goes, okay. And this happens in a tenth of a blink of an eye. I want to confess to you. Now, Goody owns Goody's Mercedes-Benz up in North Scottsdale. He's an avid listener. He is just pooping his pants right now because I'm telling you that. But I want to tell you something. I've got a twin-turbo Corvette with an LS6 motor. This car's capable of 140 miles an hour and a 10-second quarter mile. And there's times I run regular in it because I don't care. And really and truly, I can't tell unless I'm drag racing the Mustang next to me. That's it. I'll tell you something else. We had a Jaguar. And it called for premium, and we rarely put premium in the Jaguar.
No, I always put premium. And what we did one time is we decided we would put whatever gas in it and see if the other person could tell. I could tell when you put regular in my Jaguar. That's the only car. I don't think we could run regular in that Corvette, but whatever.
If you drive it normally, we could.
Okay, well, okay. You don't drive it normally, so we can't.
But he didn't say that.
Okay, but I would try it, and like Mark said, even do a blend, half and half, and just see how it is, because you'd probably be fine.
It's all directly related to his right foot.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, if he's going to take it up into the high RPMs and stretch the shifts out, then no, stay with premium. But the knock sensor is going to take care of the knocking. And there's no deposit issue between the two of them. Mm-hmm. It's just the difference between a balloon pop, and in an exaggerated way, I pop the balloon, boom. But if I just blow the balloon up and I let go of the, what do you call it, the neck?
Yeah.
And the balloon goes, that's the difference.
Okay.
So, and I just spit all over you, and I'm sorry.
I really don't want to hear that again. Don't be doing that again.
Oh. But, you know, you can do it. Think about this. Regular, the knock sensor is programmed for a different range. Premium, the knock sensor is programmed for a little smidgen more. So, anyway, you run. I'll guarantee you this. Do this. Are you married?
Yeah.
Okay. Have her take it down to a half tank, and have her either fill it with premium or fill it with regular, and not tell you.
That's what I said. That's what we did. And yes.
Yeah. Well, who couldn't tell, you or me?
I could tell. You said you couldn't tell, but I could tell.
First of all, I don't even trust your ability. But nevertheless, I still love you.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, those are the things I could. Now, just to be fair, though, I'm going to give Goody a chance. And you call Goody's Mercedes-Benz up there and say, Mark said this. And if he's adamantly against that, and here's the question. Have you ever fixed, and what is it you fixed, that specifically was related to somebody using cheap gas, and the answer better be the pistons. It better be the pistons or the head gasket.
Well, now
blown.
It will be because he's listening to you probably.
Well, no. but the issue is I don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah,
but I'm going to give him a chance to counter me. So anyway, Nathan, thanks for calling. That is a tough subject. And the car makers say this, and in reality we do this, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference. Who's next?
Raphael.
Raphael, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 96 Mitsubishi 3000 GT. I had the clutch done in a shop 3 years ago exactly.
Okay.
And now sometimes it slips, but other times it's like really responsive.
Okay.
I was wondering if you might know might know what's going on.
This is what I want you to do. Okay. I want you to do this on Sunday morning, and I want you to, in your street, there's nobody up and running. So you put it in first gear, and I want you to just close your eyes, and how far do you have to let the clutch pedal up before it moves? Now, let's pretend that the clutch pedal throw is 6 inches, okay? That's from floor to relaxed. So if you say, I'm coming off the floor an inch, inch and a half, and it starts moving, then the next question is, get on the freeway, and put it, is that an automatic or a standard? Oh, it's a standard because he has
Hello.
A clutch. Okay,
yeah.
okay.
What are we talking about here?
Okay. You know what? You're starting to bug me. This may be your last show.
Oh, you say that all the time.
So now what you're going to do is you're going to just throttle up and you're going to push the clutch pedal in. And so you're going to push the clutch pedal in until she starts slipping. Okay? I need those to be even. Okay, I need to, now if you say to me, I barely touch the clutch pedal and it starts slipping, it's going to be an adjustment. And especially because you said it, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. Now, if the clutch is slipping, it's partially engaged, so it's not releasing. And I don't think that unless you drive like my wife, you're not going to wipe out a clutch in 2 years.
Three years, okay. Yeah.
So that's what I do, Raphael's, is just how far are we coming off the floor before it moves, and how far are we touching the brake pedal on normal throttle or a little heavier than normal throttle before she starts slipping. I want that clutch activity to be in the middle of the pedal. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All righty. Hardly anybody has clutches anymore.
I know.
I mean, there's just not a whole lot of the automatics are far superior. Okay, who we got next?
We have Chuck.
Chuck, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I've been helping my son get his brakes working better on his 2000 Toyota 4Runner.
Uh-huh.
The brake pedal was just super hard. He had to like, stand on his brakes to get it to stop. So he replaced the vacuum assist unit part, and that helped that. And he bled the brakes. But then when he pushes on the brakes, it stops. But it's like the front right wheel, that caliper cycle, it clamps down on the disc, but it won't release.
Okay. You
and
know,
he didn't do anything. He didn't change out the pads or change anything with the disc. He just they still match up. But
okay,
what do you think?
Well, when you replace a booster, the difference between a new booster and a defective booster is the difference between left and right and north and south and up and down and night and day. The booster's
right.
Bad. It's rock hard. It takes almost 2 feet to stop it, and the motor starts idling poorly.
Yeah.
So
he did replace that, and that helped that. But we don't understand why that front right wheel, it's like the brakes apply, but they don't want to retract.
Well, it could be that the left side's not working, and it could be that the right side's hanging up. The answer to your question bluntly is that we release the caliper because there's 3,000s worth of wobble in the rotor. So as you release the brakes, the rotor wobbles in an exaggerated way. It wobbles left and right, mm-hmm. pushes the piston back, slides the caliper on the slides, and we're done. So that's what releases it. The caliper doesn't have a brain. It's just going to release because of the rotor wobble. I'd find some real slick concrete. And I'd go there at night or tomorrow morning early when nobody's there. And I'd go, I don't know, 15 miles an hour and then hammer the brakes. Leave it sit where it stops. Get out and look at the skid marks all the way around. That's going to help you a lot. But as far as as a problem, what happens if you hit the brakes and you don't have any skid on the right and it's pulling hard to the left? Well, then I need to work on the left. But here's the thing. When he's working on the calipers or the front brakes on that, he takes the caliper off, take the pads out. Put the calipers back on, bolt them up. You should be able to take one finger and push it backwards. Slide it, put it behind. Either way. Ooh, just as easy as pie. You need to make sure that's happening. If not, you need a hardware kit that comes with the two long bolts because those are all rusted up and tear up or whatever. And the hardware kit may or may not come with some of the O-rings and hardware and bushings that go into the calipers. So let's go find out, and let's make sure it's the right front, and then take the tire off, take the caliper off, pull the pads, put the caliper back on, just like normal, and then it should just slide across. You're not going to hit the brake pedal. You're just going to slide the caliper back and forth.
Did this start after you replaced that other part, or is this just a separate problem?
It started after he replaced the booster.
Okay.
The vacuum booster.
All right. And see, I'm thinking out loud here. If he didn't get the right booster with the rod, then we normally apply the rears a little earlier, and then we apply the fronts. So, but the rod would cause the pedal to change, you know, feel altogether.
So maybe he's got the wrong part or defective?
He didn't say that.
Okay.
So it's kind of what they don't say that makes a lot of difference. And he didn't say that the pedal position has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want him to chase the problem on the right because it could be on the left.
Okay.
So, and if he does that slide back and forth, then that we're going to eliminate a hardware kit. And then if he's convinced it's the calipers, he has to replace both at the same time. So that's it.
Okay.
All righty.
So does that rod normally come with a booster, new booster, or does it depend?
No, you're going to take it out of the old booster and put it in the new booster.
And just put it in.
Yeah.
So it should be the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
We'll give it a go.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. All righty.
You got about 45 seconds to say your piece.
Yeah. All right. Well, your birthday's on Monday, and I love you.
Well, it's not on Monday, but that's okay.
Okay. It's an 18th, whenever that is. And we've been married tomorrow. I'm 46 years.
Right.
And I've put up with you that, and the people are applauding right now. But I love you with all my heart. I'm glad you married me. I'm glad your father made you marry me. That's not true at all. Anyway, everybody have a nice weekend. Drive safe, and if somebody does something nice for you, stick your arm out the window and wave to them and say thank you.